Well, before I want to go to the relatives book, but let us stay a little bit with the more general book, People You Can't Stand, and that was not just not relative. Was did that have mostly have a workplace context to it?
It really was about working with people or accomplishing something with other people, and definitely was targeted more at the workplace.
So let's take your model to an application. If can you think of a little case study or a little workplace incident that would come up that would really irritate somebody and not make them feel kindly upon their fellow worker, where they could bring that model of the four intentions to bear? How would it play
out? Well, here at its simplest level, how's this? You're at a meeting. You got these four intentions represented by four people. First person speaks up and says, do it. That's get it done. Second person speaks up and says, well, after a thorough evaluation of the many variables involved in the multifaceted project at hand, it is the determination of various members of the committee that studied the problem that perhaps the most appropriate course of action would be not to do it. Now, that's somebody who's in the get it right mode. Clearly, there's a basis for a conflict there, but the conflict could be behaviorally focused rather than having anything to do with doing it. One person's just trying to make something happen, move it forward. The other person's saying, hold on, we don't want anything to go wrong. All that's needed there is for the person who's wanting to get it right to say to the person who's wanting to get it done, look, I understand you want to see some action here. Person who's wanting to get it done, all they got to say is, look, I realize you don't want anything to go wrong here, but instead you got do it, don't do it. Then you got the person who's wanting to get along who says, you know, Johnny lost his tooth today.
Yeah.
Now you got two people sitting there going, what are you talking about? And meanwhile, the get appreciated person is sitting there going, the way I see it, I think we ought to do it. And I'll tell you why. Back in 1955.
I'm the only one who's making sense.
Yeah, right.
Here.
So you can see right there, just in that simple example, how different intentions in the context of a meeting trying to make a decision could produce all kinds of conflict that would be easily resolved if people just understood there were these different vectors of approach.
So I heard an out loud validation of each other being the key. Basically, when you talked about the do-it person and the do-it-right person at odds, I think I heard you say it starts to get untangled when they say, I see you, I hear you, I understand what you want.
Mm-hmm, you did.
That's the first.
Well, we call that the basic rule of communication, which is that no one cooperates with anyone who seems to be against them. And in human relationships, you're either with me or you're not. Basically, if somebody's willing to listen to somebody else, they're saying, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a big fan.
I'm with you, and I may not agree exactly how we ought to do this problem in front
of
us.
But I'm not against you. Right. I'm willing to have this work out.
Mm-hmm. We have some time together. If you'd like to talk to Rick at 552-6782, 1-800-838-3760.
So in the relatives book, we changed the model slightly. Instead of get it done, get it right, get along, get appreciated, we said, well, what makes family family? And we think it begins with the birth of a child. Child is born into a family. The moment that kid is born, you got something besides a marriage. You have a family. What does the child want? Child wants to be loved. Family sets conditions on that love. Family says, well, if you want to be loved, then be responsible or be appropriate or be considerate or be significant. And they send this message to varying degrees. Some families' responsibility is everything. They tend to produce a lot of people who grow up to become leaders. Some families consider it as everything. And you find these people in social groups all over the place. Mm-hmm. And some families make something of yourself is the whole message you get your entire life. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of that. Mm-hmm. In some families, be appropriate. Don't step out of line. Don't do things that would draw negative attention to the family. And in fact, some families send these same messages in a negative way. They say, don't be irresponsible. We'll love you. Don't be inappropriate. And we'll love you. Don't be inconsiderate. We'll love you. Don't be a nebbish and we'll love you. And what happens is kids who can barely understand what they're hearing in the first place try to measure up to these conditions in order to get loved.
Does every child, I mean, not a lot of parents say, do X and we'll love you in those words.
It may not be verbal.
But does every child, when they hear a strong instruction, be a certain way, strive, accomplish, make something of yourself, do they always hear, at least when they're young, and will love you? Do they always hear it as a condition on love? Or is there a way for parents to do that, really try to influence a child and not make it seem conditional, or that the love would be conditioned on that?
Oh, I think I know many families who are succeeding today in loving their children unconditionally and still setting conditions on behavior. And that to me would be the important distinction for a family that wants to be successful in child rearing. It's never about my love. I'll always love you no matter what you do. And this is acceptable behavior. This is not. That's powerful parenting. But I think a lot of families, because they're too busy or because they had bad parenting or dysfunctional families themselves, pass along through their stories, through their actions, through the things that they talk about and value, and even in the way they communicate, they send these messages, if you be responsible, we'll love you. If you be appropriate, we'll love you. And they withdraw the love when they don't get what they think is important, or they fail to reward the child for doing the thing they said was important, mm-hmm. which gives the child by implication the message, I guess it wasn't that important or I'm failing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you add all of this up and we say it produces what we call these eight archetypal behaviors. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the general. And the general is the one that nobody else is going to be responsible. Then by gosh, I'm going to be responsible. Mm-hmm. Then you have the judge who's like, well, everybody is so inappropriate. At least I'll notice it. And then you have the pleaser who's like, well, being considerate is everything. So I'll be considerate of everybody but myself. And then you have the VIP is like, significant? I wrote the book on it.
And then the big shot?
The big shot, yeah.
Achiever, big shot?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very insecure person, very important person, very irritating person.
And if I achieve enough, I'll finally get the love?
Then I'll get the love. And so you can see where these drives in a family gathering, for example, would really create some interesting problems because the general will be bossing people around. The judge will be criticizing everything. The pleaser will be constantly doing things they don't want to do and building up all this inner resentment with a smile on the outside, which sends this incongruent message to everybody around them. So nobody knows what's going on. And of course, the VIP who's holding court where nobody else can get a word in edgewise. I'm tired of talking about me. Go ahead, you talk about me for a while. So that's kind of that family context. And we said there's a twist to these. Like what happens when somebody's trying to be responsible and be appropriate? We say they become a meddler. They start meddling. They create interference. Let's say somebody wants to be appropriate and be considerate. Well, then they become a mystery. They keep everything to themselves because it would be inconsiderate to tell you how inappropriate you are. Then what happens if somebody wants to be considerate and be significant? Well, now you got the martyr. They're like, let me do for you so you'll appreciate me. Or what happens if somebody wants to be significant and be responsible? Well, that's when you get the rebel. The rebel says, don't tell me what to do. I'm somebody. I'll tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. So we think that all of these things have an element of greatness to them and an element of danger to them. For example, it's great to have somebody take charge sometimes. It's great to have somebody who can discern the difference between right and wrong sometimes. It's great for somebody to interfere when your child's getting ready to run in the street and they meddle in that. They stop them. But they also have this element of danger. Anyway, to bring this back around to what we were talking about a moment ago, I think that when we speak up in society and in family, that we can do it in a way that addresses all of these needs. We can be responsible. We can be appropriate, we can be considerate, and we can do it because it counts. And when we bring all those together and are driven by that, I think we are whole human beings who are effective in creating change. And when I say be responsible, I mean you take ownership over your views. You don't say this is the way it is. You say, I believe this is the way it is. When you're being appropriate, that means that you're being proactive and reasonable instead of emotional and reactive. When I say be considerate, that means that you're building up instead of tearing down, offering, you know, this is what I think can work instead of what's not going to work. And finally, when I say be significant, that means you're driven by the idea that this could really matter. So you have the courage of your convictions and you're willing to make that commitment. It speaks to everybody's needs.
Dr. Rick Kirschner is co-author of Dealing with Relatives, Even If You Can't Stand Them. I want to welcome Terry from Eugene. Terry, hi.